It was a quiet day. Sitting upon his throne was Shaul Hamun, thinking that there was all peace and all quietness all around. He was always victorious when it came to fighting peace. But suddenly, this peace and tranquility was broken when one of his trusted messengers came running in.
Your Majesty! Your Majesty! Oh, they're all over the place! They're all over the place!
And the king got up and screamed and said,
Who? Who is all over the place? What are you so excited about?
Your Majesty, the Pelishtim, they're camping against us. They're coming towards the mountain of Gilboa.
What? The Pelishtim are gathering their armies again? The nerve, the audacity of them to come and attack us again? Don't they ever learn their lesson? Well, what I will do is I will send Avner, my general, Avner Benir, my trusty general. I will send him with a troop of soldiers, and they'll wipe out those Pelishtim once and for all.
But Your Majesty, you don't realize what you're saying. I mean, this is not just a small band of Pelishtim that are coming to raid. They're gathering many soldiers.
What? Many soldiers? What are they gathering? A few hundred?
No, they're more than that.
What, more than that? What, a few simple thousand?
No, they're thousands upon thousands.
Are you telling me they are massing their armies for a great warfare?
Yes, they're camping near the great mountains near Shunem, and they're coming closer to the mountains of Gilboa. They're going to come, and they're going to destroy us.
Nonsense. Where's your faith? We cannot give up just like that. We'll mass our armies against them. We'll take our armies against them. We'll camp against them in Gilboa. We'll show them a fight. But first we must inquire of Hashem Yisborah. We must inquire by God to see if we shall be victorious against them.
But Your Majesty, are you sure that we can do this?
I am not afraid. Yes, of course not. Let me see now. When my Rebbe Shmuel Hanavi was alive, I would certainly not be afraid. But maybe on the other hand, maybe now I don't have enough schusim. Maybe my sins will reflect upon me. What should I do? I know. I will first ask the Urim V'Tumim. Yes, of course. Guards, go send for the Kohen Gadol. Go bring me the Urim V'Tumim.
But Your Majesty, we do not have the Urim V'Tumim. The Kohen Gadol of Yosser is not present here. He is in David's camp.
David's camp? Well, cannot be at war with David at this very moment. Although I do not like David, you must go to his camp, find him wherever he is, and ask him if I should go out to battle the Pelishtim. And would I be victorious against the Pelishtim? Go and ask him. Go! Don't waste no time. Every moment counts.
And sure enough, the messenger went. And before you know it, he was back. And he said to Shaul,
Your Majesty, I don't know how to tell you this, but...
Well, speak up! We have a war going on!
Yes, Your Majesty, but I asked your message there and...
Well, speak! What are you wasting time? What are you bubbling over there?
But, Majesty, there was no reply.
No reply? Well, maybe you didn't ask the question right.
But Your Majesty, I'm sure I did. I really did. I asked it just the way you told me.
Well, no reply. I wonder why this could happen to me that I should not get no reply from the Urim V'Tumim.
And again, Shaul walked off into deep thought, thinking, why? But he's the king. He still is the king. The Urim V'Tumim should answer him. But it wasn't. And in his mind he thought,
perhaps, could it be that I'm not getting no reply because I let Doeg wipe out the city of Noiv, and I didn't protest? Could that be? I don't know. I don't have no time to ponder this thought right now. I must get an answer. Perhaps if I go to the ones who write down on a piece of paper and put it under their pillows and they dream, and through dreams Hashem sends them a message, perhaps that way I can get a message. Yes, of course. Send for me one of those people that work with the Nevuah through dreams. And sure enough, they did that, just as the king ordered. But There was no reply. Well, look on both sides of the paper! Check it again!
But, Your Majesty, there's nothing there. I mean, I looked on both sides. I look in the sunlight and everything. There's not even a mark.
Well, I know. Get me the Nevi'im. Sure, the ones that are the Talmidim from my Rebbe Shmuel. Yes, go get them quickly! And sure enough, they brought them. They brought them. And they came forward. And they asked the king,
Your Majesty, you have called for us?
Yes, I called for you! I need your help, and I need it now! You must find out whether we should go and fight against the Plishtim! And if we do go to fight, will we be victorious? You must check that out!
Yes, we will try. And the Nevi'im tried, even overnight. But nothing came to them, and they came back to Shaul. Your Majesty, I don't know how to tell you this, but we have no reply.
What? No reply? Not even from the Nevi'im? My goodness. Surely the Lord has turned away from me. I'm not getting no response. What can I do? I'm getting very nervous.
Your Majesty, you better hurry up and do something quickly. The Plishtim are getting ready to attack us and wipe us out any minute now.
What? What am I supposed to do? I don't know if I can fight them.
But Your Majesty, you're always successful. I mean, every time you went out to fight against the Plishtim, oh, you were so victorious. I remember how you went out there in battle and you took your sword and whoop and whoop and whoop and swoosh and swoosh, and the Plishtim fell from all sides. Your Majesty, why can't you do that again? The people, all the army, stands behind you. Their courage becomes greater when they stand in front of you.
Yes, but I had courage from Shmuel HaNavi. But now he is Nifta already. He passed away 6 months ago. And my spirit is no longer calm. I am getting nervous. What can I do now?
When suddenly, his general, Avner Ben-Ner, approached him.
Your Majesty, may I give you a suggestion? I know that you haven't tried this yet, but perhaps you should. You know what that is? Try to bring Shmuel HaNavi back from the dead.
What? Are you out of your mind? Are we both going crazy? This cannot be. How is this supposed to be done?
Your Majesty, we would go to a witch. A witch that brings from the dead.
Dead? You mean somebody that practices with those bones from the Yidoni practice? That kind of stuff?
Yes, Your Majesty, that's exactly what I mean.
But that cannot be done! You know that I have killed all the witches. You know that as I felt strong in my reign, I sent out my soldiers to wipe out all witches wherever they are.
Your Majesty, I know of one witch that was not killed.
One witch? Why was that? How did I miss a witch? How?
Oh, that's very simple. She hid very carefully in a forest. And when she heard that you were killing out all the witches, she didn't practice her witchcraft for a while. But now she does, but very secretly. And only a few people know of her.
And how do you know about this?
Well, I can't give the secret. I said I wouldn't tell. I gave my word.
But wait a minute. You know that it's against the Torah to go over and consult the witch. How can I do that?
Your Majesty, think carefully of the situation. You're not getting any response. How else can you get a response?
You're right. This is a case of pekuach nefesh. We have to save not just my life and not just yours, but the whole Klal Yisrael is depending upon this. I think you're right. I think we should consult this witch.
Yes, let's go right now. Do you really know where she is? Yes, Your Majesty, I do. I do. But there's only one problem, Your Majesty. If she sees you dressed like that, she'll get very scared.
Oh, yes, yes. Of course, I'll take off my robe. I'll take off my crown. I'll wear ordinary clothing, like a peasant. Right, she won't recognize me. I'll wear something around my face a little bit so she wouldn't recognize my face. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Yes, yes, that would be a very good idea. And perhaps we should take along another person with us just in case we run into trouble.
Another person? What kind of person?
Perhaps we should take Amasa with us, you know?
Oh, yes, my other general. Yes, good idea, brilliant.
Now, when should we go? Well, it's getting dark. Perhaps we should go now. It's the best time, you know.
Yes, 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 that's a great idea. Let us go now. I will quickly change my clothing. I'll be in disguise. She won't recognize me at all. I mean, if she saw the king, she was expected to be in royal robes, but not me. I will be in simple, junky peasant clothing. And I'll even have this thing covering my face a little bit, so just in case she ever saw the king, she won't recognize me. Let me go quickly change my clothes. Yes, yes, yes. And sure enough, the king changed his clothes, disguised himself very cleverly, and then, sneaking out, a back way from the palace, he went together with Avner Ben-Air and his other general, Amasa. And all as that could be heard in the forest was just galloping horses and an occasional sound of an owl. And Avner Ben-Air was riding in the front, and Shoal kept asking, "Are we there? Are we there?"
"Patience, your majesty, patience. We will be there, I will tell you."
And they kept galloping. It looked as though they were going on and on forever. When suddenly, Avner Ben-Air said,
"All right, we must stop now with the horses."
And the horses stopped, and they all got off their horses. And Avner Ben-Air said,
"Now, follow me. Remember, we are strangers lost in the woods." "What do you mean? We'll just tell her what we want. We'll tell her that we want her to bring up Shmuel Hanavi from the grave, from the dead." "We cannot do that. She'll be too suspicious. We must first say that we're lost, we'll get into the house, and then we'll state our business." "All right, get on with it, get on with it."
And so they went, and Avner Ben-Air led the way through this tree, through that tree, behind this bush and that bush. Then, suddenly, Shaw looked out.
"Could that be it? Look over there, I see a house." "Where, where?" "Over there, look at it." "It must be a deserted house. Paint peeling all over the place. The shutters from the windows, they're hanging off over there. Hardly looks like there's any light there or anything. It's all broken down. It's... Oh, she must be dead by now. It must be deserted. There's no witch there. You brought me out here for nothing." "No, no, I didn't. I didn't. She's there. I know she's there." "How do you know?" "My sources told me that she's there. And I'm positive that she's there." "Well, then let's go."
And they went, and they came closer. And then they saw a small light from one of the rooms in the house.
Well, look at that. There is a light there. Somebody does live there. See? I told you. Now let's knock on the door."
And they knocked on the door.
And then they waited for an answer.
But there was no answer.
"Knock again! Knock again!"
She shouted from the window,
"Who is there? What can I do for you?"
"I am..." "Don't tell who you are. Just say you're lost in the woods." "Yes, we three are lost in the woods. Perhaps you can help us."
"What can an old lady do to help you lost in the woods? Just find your own way. Follow the stars. Look for the North Star and guide yourself."
But we're a little bit tired and everything. Perhaps we can just come inside your house and rest a bit."
"Well, you just better make it fast. I don't have all day and night for you, or weeks, or whatever you want to spend here. That's not my business."
Well, what exactly is your business?"
"That's none of your business."
"I don't understand you, but could you please open up? It's cold and night air, you know."
"All right, I'm coming. I'm an old lady. I don't move so fast."
And sure enough, she came down those crickety steps as they squeaked as she went down. And they waited until the door suddenly opened up. And there, they noticed an old lady carrying a lantern, which the light cast a strange, eerie shadow against the walls. It cast the sight of one could not believe. This old lady, her face was so deeply wrinkled, and her eyes, her lashes were so straggly, her nose was a
bit of a hooked nose with a little pimple at the edge. Little whiskers here and there came from her chin. Her complexion was not that of an ordinary one. Perhaps a little yellowish, greenish tint it might have had. And this clothing she wore, old, raggedy, patched-up clothing. And she stood there holding this lantern. And Shaul just stood there, not knowing what to say, when suddenly she broke the silence.
Well, are you going to come in or are you going to stay outside? Did I walk down those steps for nothing? I'm an old lady, you know. I don't have the strength to go up and down and up and down. Now, if you wish to sleep here the night until you feel better to go, fine, you can sleep on the floor. As you can see, I'm not that wealthy that I can afford many beds here, and this is not a hotel. So the sooner you rest and the sooner you go, the better off I will be, and the better off you will be.
And so came inside, and Avner and Amasa came inside too. And they closed the door.
Well, that's nice of you to close the door. It was getting cold. I was feeling a bit of a trap. Now, go ahead and be upon your way, and I'll just be upon my way. And don't disturb me. Good night.
Lady, excuse me. You see, we're not exactly lost.
You're not? Then what are you doing here? You come to rob me, an old lady? Me, an old lady, you come to rob. What can you steal? A broken shutter? A cracked window? The mattress from a bed that's not here?
No, we came here for a different purpose.
A different purpose? Oh, to kill me. What can you gain out of killing an old lady?
We did not come here to kill you. We did not come here to rob you. We came here for a special service from you.
From me? A special service? What kind of service are you talking about?
We need you to bring somebody up from the dead.
To bring somebody up from the dead? Surely you are joking. I cannot do that. I don't know where you got the idea that an old lady like me, who lives alone in the forest with nothing to do, would spend her time bringing up people from the dead? Surely that must be a big joke. Don't you know that Shaul the King sent soldiers all around searching for every witch that there was and had them all killed? If you want so much that you should bring somebody up from the dead, why don't you just go out to the cemetery where he's buried and take a shovel and dig him up and you'll have somebody from the grave?
No. That is not what we came for, to dig from the grave. We know that you can bring him up the way only you know.
Me? Only I know? What are you talking about? Are you trying to get me killed or something? You're trying to get me in trouble?
We have no time to joke around here. We have no time to waste. You cannot fool us. We know that you're a witch. We know all about you. And you can trust us that we will not have you killed. Otherwise, we would not have come here for your service.
Then suddenly, Avner spoke up.
Your Majesty, Your Majesty, Your Majesty, let me handle this. Old lady, may I speak to you for a moment? Come here.
Where are you going with her? Where are you going?
Never mind, never mind. Just let me talk to her. Maybe I can convince her, okay?
And Avner walked over to the side. And when he walked over to the side, he stood near the light from the lantern and showed his face more clearly to the old lady, and she gasped in a whisper.
What? My son, Avner? What are you doing here? You told me I'd be safe here if I lived here in the forest alone. You told me I would be protected here. You told me if I stopped practicing witchcraft, you would not tell Shaul and I would not be killed. So what are you bringing this strange man here to so I should practice witchcraft? What are you doing to me?
I have no time to explain, Mother, but trust me, this man is legitimate. He will not get you in trouble. He won't talk to the king, I'm telling you. I know it for a fact.
How do you know? How do you know? Tell me, tell me, tell me.
Just trust me, Mother. We haven't got much time. We are in a very big rush. You just don't understand what's happening here. Now, go and help him. Trust us.
For you, my son. For you, I will do it just this one time.
And so she came to Shaul straightforward, not knowing that she was speaking directly to Shaul, the king of Israel. And she said,
All right, I'll do it! Your friend over here convinced me, and I will definitely do it for you. But, you must make sure that you will never tell a soul! Nobody should know of this!
I give you my word, no one will know. Now please, get on with it, lady.
Okay! Just follow me and watch your step. It might be a little bit dark in here for you.
Well, I'm not afraid. Come on! Time is of essence. We haven't got time to waste.
Well, be patient. This is not something that's done just like that, you know. All right, now, watch your step. We're going through this door now. Oh, don't you like what you see upon here?
What do I see? Skulls on the walls, bones all over the place. Oh, gives me the creeps.
Oh, they're such lovely. Isn't that a beautiful skull? I should tell you the story about that one time, but I see you don't have time. All right. Be seated next to that table over there with the candle.
My goodness, I get the creeps just sitting here with all these skulls and bones and everything.
Just be seated. Let's get on with it. I mean, after all, you are in a rush. Okay, now, just who is this person you want me to bring up from the dead?
This person I want you to bring up is Shmuel. Shmuel, I said. Shmuel, don't you hear me?
Oh, yes. Shmuel, I wonder who you mean. I mean, there's lots of Shmuels.
You know which Shmuel I mean.
You don't mean Shmuel Hanavi, the prophet? The one that passed away 6 months ago?
That's him. That's the one I want. You must bring him from the grave, from the dead, whatever, however you do it. I must speak to him now.
Oh, really? You think it's that simple, you know? Well, I first have to do all my strange little works that my mother told me and her grandmother told her and her great-grandmother told her. You know, this is a very big tradition, you know. It's okay, just relax.
Whoa, relax. You think it's that easy? So many things depend upon this.
Yeah. Now, just sit down. Relax. Let me do all the work. Let me carry on a tradition that was passed on to me from my mother, her mother, and her mother's mother. Oh, yes, it's a very famous tradition. First, for this person that you want me to bring from the dead, I must take a special bone. Oh, by the way, I must explain you something, you see. This is a very strange art, you see. Let me explain you just how it works, you see. When I actually bring this dead person that you wish to see, I got news for you. You won't be able to see him.
What am I coming here for?
Well, let me explain you just clearly how this works. You see, through this magic of the bone that I use, I will be able to see him, but you will not. But you will be able to hear him, and then I will not.
What? Let me get this straight. You're going to be able to see him, and I will not, but I will be able to hear him, and you will not?
That is correct. And you want to know something else? There's a third thing. All your friends that are over here, your two friends, they will not even realize what's happening.
They won't?
No! Now, you must be very quiet. Very quiet as I perform this. Now, just let me go down to this bottom drawer over here. Ah, yes, here it is, my favorite bone. When I have to bring up somebody that's very hard to bring up, I always use this bone. Now, I will put this gently underneath my armpit like this. Remember, what you see here, you must never say to anyone, especially Saul the King. Oh, and now I shall stroke it and say all those magical words that were taught to me.
What are you saying over there?
Don't interrupt me.
And suddenly, there was a stillness in the room.
a cold, cold feeling. And suddenly her voice started to change as though if by magic. Her voice echoed and started to call forth as she went into her strange trance and started calling. Until it really reached to Gan Eden, where Shmuel Hanavi was sitting there learning and enjoying the most beautiful moments that anyone can possibly possess. Sitting in Gan Eden, Shmuel heard the voice.
Shmuel, come forth, arise, arise, you are being summoned. Come!
And Shmuel didn't understand. What could this be to him, he said. He started to wonder. What is this voice that I hear? Could it be that I'm being summoned to the Beis Din Shel Maalah? Could it be that they have discovered some sin that I did not know about? But this cannot be. I'm sure it must be a mistake. But then again, the voice echoed,
Shmuel!
Yes, they are calling me. What am I supposed to do? They want me in front of the Beis Din Shel Maalah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, you must come. You must come and testify before me. You must tell them that there isn't a thing that you have written in the Holy Torah that I did not fulfill. You must come. And Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to come. He says, surely I will come. I will testify on your behalf. You have fulfilled the Torah very well. There isn't a thing that you have not fulfilled. Surely I will testify on your behalf. And so the two follow the echo of the voice. And Shaul was sitting there getting impatient.
Well, is he coming or is not coming?
And the witch said,
I feel his presence. It's coming. Ah, yes. But something strange. I never felt this before. Here they are.
Here? They are?
Yes, they're coming. I feel that they're coming.
They?
They? What do you mean they?
They're entering. Quiet for a moment. Quiet, please. They're here. You lied to me.
What are you talking about? Lied? What do you mean?
You're a king! The only king that's in this area is Shaul! You must be Shaul HaMelech! You lied to me! You came here to trick me! You want to kill me!
No, I didn't come here to kill you! I mean, how did you know that I'm a king?
Well, there is one thing that I didn't tell you before, but I will tell you now!
What's that?
Well, when the dead come, when they are summoned by me, through my magical powers which I have learned through tradition, they always come and appear upside down. but for the respect of a king, they come standing straight up. And these two people came standing straight up.
You want to kill me.
You set me up, didn't you? You set me up!
No, I didn't. I tell you, I will not kill you. I will not have you put to death. I need your help now.
All right, I will trust you. But you must hold on to your word and not harm me in any way.
I will do as you say. I will not harm you. All as I will ask from you is that you will never practice witchcraft again after this. Now, please, you said you saw two people?
Yes, I still see them. Two people.
Well, describe me the two people.
Well, I see one of them, his face. His face is unbelievable. It's almost blinding to me. I can't really look straight at it. It's shining like the sun.
Sun? Shining like the sun? I don't recognize that one. Who is the next one over there?
Well, the next one, he's wearing a cloak. A cloak, yes, that's right, a cloak. It looks like a cloak made by hand, yes.
Cloak made by hand?
Sure, that must be Shmuel.
That's Shmuel. Shmuel, can you hear me? Rebbe, can you hear me?
And suddenly, when Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he was pulled in by magic, he quickly ran back to Gan Eden not to miss another moment. But only Shmuel remained, for he was still being held by the power of magic. And Shmuel spoke forward, and he said,
Shaul, why did you bring me forth? Why did you call for me? Why did you use magic to bring me here? Why did you take me out of Gan Eden? You know that every moment is precious in Gan Eden. Why?
But Rebbe, you don't understand. Hashem has turned away from me. I have no one to speak to.
So, why are you coming to me?
But Rebbe, don't you understand? The Nevi'im, the dreamers, they don't answer me.
Yes, of course not. They will not answer you. Hashem has definitely turned away from you. You know that when you didn't wait for me, in Gilgal, those 7 full days, you know that Hashem then declared that you will no longer have the kingdom within your family. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know about that.
And you do know that when you did not kill every single person from the Amalekim, you know that the entire kingdom was torn away from you and given over to someone better than you?
But Rebbe, you know that from the start I never wanted to be king. I never asked to be king. Are you going to tell me that because of one sin that I let one Amaleki live, just one symbol Amaleki live, you're going to tell me that my whole entire kingdom is being torn away from me for one sin?
Yes, that one Amaleki that you have let to live. You don't realize it, but from him will come many others. Many other Rishoyim. Yes, and they will cause trouble to Klal Yisrael in future generations. Yes, that's what you did. It wasn't just one person. It was a whole nation.
But Rebbe, you must help me. You know that I never wanted to be king. I mean, after all, from the whole start, it was Min HaShemayim that I should be king. But I never still wanted it. I never wanted it. But now I'm here. I mean, you know that my father's donkeys wandered off and I went after them for 3 days and I ended up in your town, Ramah, and I was there and one of my lads who was with me trying to help me find my father's donkeys came and told me about you, and when I came forward to see you, you knew my name and everything, and then you said I was going to be king of Israel. I didn't really believe totally what you were saying, and then you anointed me with oil, and then before I knew it, I was king. I mean, everything happened so fast. Now, you're just blaming me for this one thing? I mean, in the meantime, there are thousands of Yidden standing there waiting to see what their fate will be. And Rebbe, please help me. Tell me what I should do.
And Shmuel HaNavi thought for a moment. And he felt that since when Shaul was mentioning that he did not get no response from Hashem. He never mentioned that he asked from the Urim V'Tumim. Obviously, he felt ashamed that he allowed the whole entire city of Kohanim of Nov be destroyed.
So Shmuel spoke, and he said, I have very sad news to tell you, Shaul. It's not news that I enjoy giving over, but I shall tell you. You shall be going to battle against the Pelishtim. You will be there in the forefront. You will be leading Klal Yisrael to battle. A tremendous battle will engulf. And you and your three sons will be up front. And they will be leading Klal Yisrael to a fierce battle. But it will be your last battle. Your three sons will be killed. You will be killed. Many of Klal Yisrael will be killed. People will be running in all different directions in panic and fleeing. But there is no way that you can stop your fate. But there is one thing that you can do. If you will do tshuva with all your heart, with all your soul, you know as well as I do that as long as there is a breath in a living person, he can do tshuva to the very last second and repent from any sin that he has done. And if you will do this, you will join me in Gan Eden. And with those words, Shmuel was gone.
But Rebbe!
Oh, don't bother talking anymore. He's gone.
He's gone.
What's the matter? Your face looks faint. Oh my goodness! He's fainted! Quickly, get some water! Oh my goodness, I don't know what happened, but the way he sounded when he was talking, oh my goodness, something terrible must have taken place. Oh, put some water on him, revive him. Oh my goodness, so terrible. Oh my.
And so they put water on him and they revived him. And they asked him,
What happened? What did he say? Did you really see him?
I didn't see him, but I heard him.
Well, what did he say?
I cannot tell you. I just can't.
But what are we coming for? Do we go to battle? I mean, what do we do?
Yes. We will go to battle. I will be there in front. My three sons will be there in front. And we will fight.
But you can't just go into a battle without eating. Take something. Listen to me. I may be an old lady. I may look foolish. I may be a witch. But I do know that you need something to eat. Take something.
All right. I'll take something. And then from then on, I will fast. I will fast until the battle is over. Yes.
And so they ate. And then they left. And as they left, the witch said,
Remember, you must keep your word. You must not kill me. After all, you are the king. But remember, a word is a word.
Yes, I remember. But you must keep your word, too. You must never practice witchcraft again.
And with those words, they left. Three strangers in the night, returning to Shaul's palace. But Shaul looked as though he has seen a ghost. His face was pale and with fear written all over it. Whenever Avner would question him about what he spoke about, all as he would respond was,
Never mind, what I spoke is not important. The point is we must go to battle. There is nothing that we can do except go and fight with all our heart, with all our soul, and fight strongly. And whatever will happen will be for the best.
And then they arrived back in the palace. Shaul asked for his son, Yenison, to come and see him privately. And Yenison obeyed his father every time he would ask.
Yes, father, what is it?
Yenison, do you realize what's going to happen tomorrow?
Yes, father, we are going to go into battle against the Pelishtim. We are going to wipe them out, like always.
Yoinason, do you realize what happens in a battle? You realize many things can happen in a battle.
Yes, of course, father. In a battle, many people die.
Yes, that is correct. You realize that in some battles, people return, and then some don't return.
Well, yes, father, of course. But of course, we shall return. I mean, Hashem will be on our side, won't he?
Jainasen, we must be prepared that in case we don't return.
What are you talking about, Father? I don't understand.
Well, think clearly for a moment. Think, what would you do if you knew that perhaps tomorrow you may die?
Well, of course, if I knew that, I would sit and do tshuva every moment I had.
Then, perhaps, maybe you should do it.
Are you saying that we are going to die tomorrow?
I did not say that, but it would be wise to do a little tshuva.
Father, of course. And Jainasen realized that his father was indeed hinting there was that very possibility that they would not return from this battle. And all night long, Jainasen sat in his corner, doing tshuva, plopping al chet, saying vidoy, confessing all his averis, all his sins to Hashem. And Shaul was doing the same in his corner. And they both fasted. And then the morning came. The sun started to rise. It was a bright day, clear, as though nothing would stop Klal Yisrael from going into battle, to a battle that they thought with Shaul at their side they would win. But of course, the outcome was to be seen. Then Shaul got up on the balcony of his palace, and he started to scream forth orders.
All right, men! All right! Grab your arms, put on your shields, put on your helmets, grab your swords, grab your spears, grab your bows and arrows. We're going to battle those Philistim. We're going to wipe them out. Hashem will be on our side. We will destroy them.
But your majesty, there are thousands upon thousands of them all over the hills of Gilboa. How do you expect us to wipe them out?
Faith, my son, faith you must have. We may be a smaller army, but if Hashem is on our side, I say it again, if Hashem is on our side, we shall be victorious. We don't have to worry about a few little, petty little Palishtim. It does not matter.
Right, Your Majesty. Anything you say.
Okay, let us get upon our horses. Let us go into battle. Let us attack and let us charge and show that Klal Yisrael is still strong.
And sure enough, they went out into battle. The trumpets blared and blasted, and the war began. The Palishtim outnumbered Klal Yisrael by a great margin. And then, from all the hills, the Palishtim started surrounding Klal Yisrael's army. And Klal Yisrael started to panic. They started to run in different directions. The Shaul gave forth orders.
Fight! 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 We will win! We will win!
This is what Shaul told him. But deep inside, he knew that what Shmuel HaNavi says comes true. He knew that they were not going to win. But he fought bravely. He knew he was going to die that day, but he didn't know when, what time of the day. But he fought bravely. And the Palishtim came from all sides. They had their eyes on Shaul. But suddenly, one by one, his sons, all three that accompanied him into war, were killed. And the Yidden started to panic even worse than before. They started to run in every direction, and Shaul said, "Fight on! Fight on!" And he was becoming hopeless. The Palishtim were surrounding him, and they were coming closer. And the archers, the Palishtim archers, they saw him. They picked forth with their bows and arrows. They started to take aim. And suddenly, one arrow after another was fired towards Shaul. And Shaul picked up his shield and blocked arrows after arrows. And people came at him from all sides, one to try to just attack him straight on. But Shaul would swing his mighty sword and cut off heads like nothing, because he was still mighty. You have to remember that Shaul was a head taller than all the other Yidden. Very strong indeed, even though he was fasting that whole day. And then one arrow, just one arrow, caught him off guard, struck him. He started to feel faint and weak. He started to collapse to the floor. But he looked around and he saw the Palishtim coming towards him. He did not wish that the Pelishtim should come and humiliate him and torture him and let him die mercilessly. So he called forth to his arms bearer and he said,
"Come, you who carries my sword all the time, my bow and my arrow, come, come, take my sword. Kill me before they come. Kill me! I am dying anyways."
I can't kill you. How could I kill somebody that was anointed by a Navi? How could I kill the Mashiach Hashem? How could I do that?
Well, if you don't kill me, then I will do it myself. I'm dying anyways. I will put my sword here on the ground like this, and I will fall upon my sword like this!
And so, that is how Shaul HaMelech passed away. He passed away doing tshuva till the very last second. And then his neshama ascended straight to Gan Eden, where his neshama dwells with the neshama of Shmuel HaNavi,